Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live with your hosts, Jim and Sandy Young. Welcome, everyone. I am Reverend Sandy.
And I am Reverend Jim.
Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live. Our show is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. For anyone interested, Jim and I do personal readings. And if you'd like to have a personal reading, you can call 304-567-3354 or email sandysangeltalk@aol.com. That's sandysangeltalk@aol.com. Everyone, to Angel Talk. Our subject today is the 3 days of darkness. The predictions for the future have been there for 2,000 years. Even Jesus spoke of this. The highest beings of light are now calling the time is at hand. So join us as we explore and interpret not only how this sign of the times will occur, but how to prepare for it. We invite you to join us for this exciting Angel Talk radio show sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. I would like to share with you a little prophecy. Have you been feeling pressure in your head, aches and pains in your body more than normal, nausea and dizziness, and even being extra tired? Your planet is being affected by electromagnetic pulses. It is also affecting the Schumann resonance, creating spikes in the frequency of the planet. These fluctuations of frequencies are causing problems for people. Your body is meant to have a stable frequency, but when fluctuations happen, it affects the brain waves of everyone and everything on the planet. It could make you feel sick and unbalanced. Not only does it affect people, it affects animals. And these fluctuations can scramble signals on the electronic equipment, creating problems of navigation for planes and ships. It is easy for accidents to happen in these frequency fluctuation times. The instruments may not work properly. The magnetic fields around the planet and our body help keep our emotions intact. And with unstableness in the magnetic field, people's emotions can go out of control. We are in a year, 2025, of change. It is a time of letting go of the things emotionally and mentally that no longer serve us. If we fall vulnerable to these mood swings, it can draw many serious situations into our lives. In order to achieve higher awareness, it takes letting go of lower ways of acting and thinking. When we can accept change and let go of those destructive thoughts and emotions, we allow light to fill that area of our body. We grow in consciousness and allow ourselves to be closer to our higher self. For the beings of light bless all who try to grow in awareness and also help others through this process. Know that in the near future, these fluctuations of electromagnetic pulses will grow stronger and also could affect the grids of the planet, causing blackouts. This year of change will usher in many earth changes. Always remember to hold your faith in God and know your oneness with the all. And blessings to you.
Absolutely. You know, there's so many signs that are happening right now. I mean, it sometimes just amazes me. We had a massive rainfall here in Seneca Rocks. What was it? Last week? Week before? Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was drenching. And I worried because we have a right-of-way road that goes up the side of our house. And there's a guy that lives at the top of the hill, the bottom of the mountain, and he lives in the house there. And then his father lives on the left side of the road going up. And then there's us on the right side. And that's really all that is on that right of way. But that, I mean, the water was coming down that road like a torrential flood. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen anything out there like that or on any road around here like that. And I walked out into the middle because there wasn't really, you know, where the road kind of, you know, dips down a little bit on my side and on their side. And, you know, they're just, it wasn't even barely damp. And I walked out to the middle and I looked, and all the way up, I mean, it was torrential. I mean, flooding. It was probably, well, as wide as it could get. I mean, I would say probably 5 or 6 feet at best. And one of the owners from across the street, he come walking over and he said, "That's just amazing, isn't it?" He said, "And I don't know if there's anything we can do about it." I said, "Oh, there's stuff that can be done about it." I said, "It's just been put off too long." I said, "There's pipes." I said, "I've tracked pipes and piping and, you know, waterways that lead into a cistern that's on the backside of your property." I said, but it's clogged up. I said, "And so are the ditches, and the pipes have been run over and they've been closed." I said, "But, you know, it gave no place for water to go, especially for us." I said, "But standing here in the middle, as I look up there, well, it's barely damp on our side. Your side is a river. My side, or the side of the right of way on the side of our home," I said, "or the parsonage," I said, it's barely damp." And he did find his way to get out there, and he looked up there and he said, don't you think that maybe it's tilted a little towards, you know, our property? And I said, "Now look at that." I said, "Look up through there all the way up, because your son is all the way at the top of the hill. So go ahead and look all the way up." I said, "There is nothing tilted about that road. It is perfectly even." I said, "But it just happened that, you know, your side looks like a river. Our side, you know, is barely wet." I said, "That's God. That's all I can tell you." I said, "Like, I keep telling you that the ground that the parsonage and the church sets on is holy ground. And it was made that way, when the Christ walked across, you know, the land and through the church, and he declared it to be sacred ground and or holy ground. And, you know, so you'll probably see other things occur that will amaze you. One night we were coming up from somewhere and it was dark, and I saw somebody that was parking on the right of way. So I drove up the right of way, right up to the person's bumper. He come running off our property and got in his car, and I mean, squealed the wheels up the hill he went. And I just sat there for a minute or two, just, you know, watching. He went all the way up to the house and got out of his car, ran down through the woods. I thought, that's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. But then all of a sudden, here come the deer that we call Baby, that was left on our doorstep when its mother was killed and still had spots and was little. And of course, Sandy adopted it. But here it came. It walked across the road and over onto the grass. And when it did, it turned around and it faced back the other way. And all of a sudden, here they came in a straight line. One little one, two little ones, three little ones, four little ones, and then a doe. And I think, was it two does or was it a doe and another little one?
Yeah, a doe and another little one. Yeah.
There you go. And they come walking across. And she waited till they got across. And then she turned around. And she followed them, you know, down across our property, which is sanctuary. You know, we made a covenant with a mother deer that her and every relative down the line, so long as we were here, could find sanctuary on this ground. And it was just so funny because, you know, she didn't come out at all while he was sitting there. But the moment that he squealed up the mountain, we were still sitting there in the car running. Here she comes. She walks out, and just as she touches our grass, she turns around, and I guess they know, one by one, here they come across the road. And I thought, you know, that's just the beauty of nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, and God's protection of nature when there needs to be and if you ask.
That's for sure.
And, you know, I believe that's one of the signs of the times, is that as we grow closer to nature, not farther away, because it seems like everything that's being done is being done to push nature away. You know, even insects, good or bad. I mean, seems like the only ones I ever see anymore are stink bugs, you know, and once in a while a spider. But, you know, last spring and summer when we had our gardens, there just weren't insects. You know, I mean, hardly at all. And most of what we plant is, you know, doesn't need to be pollinated. So it wasn't hard on us. But for those people who planted things that had to be pollinated, I imagine they had a real hard time of it. But it's just amazing if you look around you to see the signs, the changes, things that are happening that, you know, that you have to wonder about, but yet, you know, God's in control and this is just his way of showing us things are changing.
They are. They definitely are. Well, the 3 days of darkness, well, this is often referred to as like a period of either waiting or challenges and loss, maybe testing, or those things that can bring up a lot of fear and worry, you know, but it's a time of self-reflection, having to account for disobedience, you know, or our sins, and the realization that maybe we've turned away from God's ways to satisfy our own self, physically, emotionally, and mentally. The 3-day period is a reminder that God has a plan, and within this 3-day period, we are not to let go of the things that have led us off of a path that caused us to stray into more self-centered ways, you know, pulling us out of the light of God, only to have to experience lessons so that we learn how our decisions are not in alignment with our higher purposes of being here. Because darkness can be a time where God tests us concerning our belief and faith in Him. When we're faced with these times, it can strengthen our trust in God more. You know, for we know that even in the worst of times, if we turn to God and ask for help, He will be there for us. He is still within us. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness." John 8:12. The darkness can never consume us if we believe in God, if we follow His ways and ask for His presence to always be there with us. You see, before we incarnated into the earth, we volunteered for our soul to bring the light with us to earth. So, when our soul left spirit to experience being like a mini-god or god in the lower states of consciousness here on planet earth, we took on a physical body. But the memories we had were blocked in this lower dimension, so instead of us following the ways of spirit, our soul turned its attention to the physical body, which is all about the material world. Comfort, luxury, glamour, attention, money, sex, and being recognized. So soon we found that the things we were doing were all self-centered. But as we got older, we were taught spiritual ways of living. And we're introduced to the Bible, the church, and some teachings of the wise ones. But this was a time of choice. And this is a planet of free will. And we can choose how we want to live our life. We are meant to remember that we have brought the light to the planet. We are here to fulfill God's will, to help others understand our higher spiritual purpose for being here, and to raise awareness so that we can grow back to heaven or in enlightenment. But many times, we have lessons to learn while we're here, and we will choose to take on some situations to gain that wisdom. Once we go through the experience and realize that the way we were thinking or acting was wrong, we can let go of that thought or action or judgment. This then opens the doors for us to allow the light to fill that area within us. So, we keep working on aligning our ways to God to keep adding more light to our soul because we're meant to grow back to heaven. But this takes willpower to not let the darkness consume our thoughts and actions. It's too easy to just react, to get angry and lash out at someone or something. You know, it takes you making a decision to use control over these situations to conquer them. I know that no one wants to feel like a victim or be embarrassed or feel weak in front of others, but stepping back before reacting, most of the time it will give you the courage to do the right thing. Because each action that we take always creates a reaction. And if it's a negative thing that is done, then you will have feelings of guilt or anger that will begin to want to consume your thoughts. And the more you repeat these actions, the stronger the feelings of guilt or anger can become. And this can lead to a bigger and worse situation or lessons to deal with. So before long, it can become out of control. These emotions can cause sleepless nights, nightmares, and even lead to possible illnesses. And it steals away your energy, leaving you feeling tired and depleted. It is only when you acknowledge you have done something that has taken you out of the grace of God, and then asking that these sins be forgiven, that you will feel a lifting of your consciousness. You will feel lighter and happier, and not so weighed down. Once God has forgiven you, you must forgive yourself, for self-judgment will still hold you back. Everyone makes mistakes, but when you change your ways and follow a pure way of life, it allows you to share experiences that you went through with others, so possibly they won't have to go through them themselves. We are meant to be each other's helper. And even though we left the spirit realm to experience the physical realm, we are all connected spiritually and mentally. We live in a grid of energy that allows us to always know that we are not alone. Just because we can't physically see something or someone doesn't mean that they're not there or trying to help you. Our vision's limited to a specific band of frequency, but our mind is unlimited to what we can tap into. For our mind, it can move faster than the speed of light. I could say to you, imagine a whale in the Pacific Ocean, and immediately you are there connecting to it. When we understand that the masters and the angels of light of the Christ are always willing to help us if we ask, then why would you not want to invite them to help you? See, throughout life, we can accumulate a lot of sin. This only holds us back from achieving our goal of being one with the light of God. And if we think that we can clean up this mess by ourselves, it could take a lifetime to do this. And if we can humble ourselves and realize asking for help is okay, it could save you years of lessons to have to experience. It could open higher opportunities for you. We are meant to be happy and not to suffer. But we are meant to know that it is only when we embrace love in our life that we align ourselves with higher levels of consciousness. There are many ways that we grow spiritually. Some may include nature creating disasters in our lives. And although we would prefer that not be the way that we have to learn something, we may not have a choice. Also understanding that we're connected like a big hologram to one another. And although we may think that what we do doesn't influence others, in reality it does. Our thoughts, when projected, can either create healing, positive effects on someone, or if they're negative projected thoughts, they can have destructive qualities to them. When we are in the presence of someone who has a much higher level of awareness, their energies cause our energies to vibrate at a higher frequency, one that they're resonating at. Emotionally, we can feel uplifted in their presence. Now, similarly, when we are in the presence of a person who has intentionally done something very evil for self-serving purposes, it can make us feel uncomfortable or uneasy to be in that energy. So even planets and stars can have an effect on us emotionally. Everything vibrates at specific frequencies. And with the planets, when they are at their furthest elliptical point, their frequency is what makes our diatonic musical scale. So when there is a foreign asteroid or planetoid in our solar system, it too can disturb the balance of the harmony of the planets, and that can affect each person on the planet. Our planet is a delicate system mimicking the all. Our solar system mimics the frequencies of the galaxy and the universe. And our physical body, when resonating with the planet, is held in a balance to the all. You see, our planet, when in resonance with the solar system, holds a balance with the all. Our solar system, when in harmony with the galaxy, holds a balance to the all. And our galaxy, when in harmony with the universe, holds a balance with the all. Each of these are a sine wave embedded within one another. And as long as we hold to the perfect frequency, everything is being empowered with energy. But when we become discord and fall out of the perfect wave pattern, we lose our ability to completely self-sustain. We are fed with the frequencies of the divine perfection. The sacred geometries of the golden mean spiral shows how everything is in a specific location and expands outwardly within this perfect sacred geometry pattern. It is self-sustaining with the frequency of unconditional love. Now, when we are given the opportunity to be mini creator gods ourselves, we lack the wisdom to follow divine perfection. We became creative, but began to step outside of the rules of nature, because this led us to the downfall of our existence. Jesus came to the planet to remove our sins and give us a chance to do it right, to follow his ways, and over time, we have corrupted most of the systems that exist. And if we had not done that, then the process to ascension would not be a problem. We could evolve into the light. But because we've moved from the ways of God, as a whole, we are all connected and will have to experience the 3 days of darkness. Our lives will be subjected to judgment by the Lord. Are we obedient or disobedient? Do we hold more light or darkness within us? It is a 3-day experience of darkness to experience a spiritual rebirth, allowing us insight and cleansing of the soul. It's a time to repent, prepare ourselves, and ask for forgiveness from God, holding our faith in all we go through. With this experience of the darkness, your belief that God's love conquers the darkest of situations is true. If you are beholden to him, he will acknowledge you and give you salvation. In Genesis 1:2, God brings light out of darkness, symbolizing his authority over both. And in Revelation 6:12, I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. This apocalyptic vision in Revelation describes a cosmic darkness that signals judgment and the approaching days of the Lord. It serves as a call for repentance. In Revelation 16:10, the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done. Darkness can serve as a significant period in our spiritual life where God tests our faith. These moments can feel isolating and frightening, yet they also provide us with opportunities to grow stronger in our reliance on him. Trials and darkness push us to trust God more, reminding us that even in the toughest times, he is still with us. Now, there has been a lot of talk about Planet X, or Nibiru, being in our solar system. Some people from all areas of the world have captured pictures of it and its moons in the sky. Jim, would you like to do a little more talking about this?
About what Nibiru looks like?
About Nibiru and what it looks like, yes.
Well, the first thing I saw was its moon. And its moon is equally proportionately the same size as ours. And with a few little differences, like the very bottom of it has what looks like a huge chunk of concrete, like maybe the moon could land on something, you know, and that would be its landing point. And I took a couple of pictures of it, but, you know, people look at it, they go, oh, that's our moon. And no matter what I said, they just didn't seem to want to get it. But one morning I was watching the news, and it was early in the morning, and the lady that was talking, she was talking, and at the bottom of the screen, it said the station, and it said the time it was. And up in the corner, at the top of the picture, is you can see our sun radiating downward. And right there is the moon that I'm talking about of Nibiru, with this big chunk of concrete on the bottom. And I ran, got my camera, and I snapped the picture because it gave the date, the time. You know, I don't even think she knew it was up there. She wasn't talking about it, you know. But you could see the sunlight, you know, pointing towards it. I mean, it shouldn't have been able to do that. And so they were both pretty close in proximity, except the moon was a lot farther, closer to our magnetosphere. And I couldn't believe it. I showed it to some people, and they said, well, I don't know. It still looks a lot like our moon. And I said, well, how about if a year from now, if I bring this picture back to you and show it to you, and, you know, and look at it again? He said, sure. So about a month ago, I took the picture back because NASA had just announced this moon that was now in our solar system, and it was right beside of our regular moon. Both of them were right there, and they were both about equal in size, really. And you could see the difference in the one with that, what I call a piece of concrete at the bottom, but you could see that difference in the two. And so I snapped another picture, and I went in to see this one older guy, and I said, you remember me? And he said, I'm sorry. He said, no, I don't. And I said, about a year ago, I come in here and I showed you a picture, and I told you, I said it was a second moon, and it was in our basic orbit. And he said, oh yeah, I do remember that. I said, and you remember you told me that, you know, you weren't too sure, but, you know, if it would be seen by a lot of people in about a year, you know, I said, bring it back in a year and I'll take another look. I thought, okay. So I left. Oh, about a month ago, I went back in because it had been a year. And I said, you remember me? He said, no, I don't. I said, I'm the one who brought that picture in of a moon that was not our moon. Oh, yeah, I remember you. I said, well, here. I said, take a look at this picture. I said, and it's the one that NASA has provided, that the two moons side by side, and they have announced that there are double moons now in our solar system. Well, how about that? He said, you know what? He said, I'm a man of my word. He said, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. He said, and I guess I'm wrong. He said, and you're right. He said, that is amazing to me. I said, no, yeah, I just want people to recognize it, to see it, to know that it is one of the signs. And that's all. It's not to make you look like you didn't know. I said, it was just, you know, to help people understand that as it gets closer and, you know, as it starts doing more strange things, you know, we will say, oh yeah, I remember when that moon first came here. And he just kind of laughed at me. And he was a no-nonsense kind of guy. He owns his own business, and, you know, what he can touch and feel and smell, see, pretty much that's what he goes with. But, you know, a picture of something, well, you know, modern day age, He's wise enough to know that there is, you know, computer programs that can pretty much turn anything into something. but I don't even use that program. This is a clear, you know, just photo. And I've taken many, 20,000 probably easily.
Oh, yeah, you've taken a lot.
Yeah. Right.
But with Nibiru, you know, it emits a red dust. And so sometimes it's difficult to be able to see it's in the sky. But with its moons, they're a little bit easier.
Yeah, because they're a regular moon typically, you know, and they were attracted by Nibiru as it moved through our galaxy. It was, you know, it attracted a certain number of moons and it brings them with them. Sometimes they'll eject from it and they'll hit a planet. And when they hit a planet, they'll do some major damage. We had a planet in our immediate solar system, and it was close to Mars and Venus, and it was called Malduke. And one of the moons, it was said, veered off as Nibiru came through and slammed into the planet, and it now comprises our asteroid belt. All those pieces of rock out there that swing around, just like a planet would, except they protect the inner planets from the outer ones. You know, you have to remember that whether you believe we're alone on this planet or have been alone, you know, there's way too much evidence to prove that there are massive stones in Baalbek, Syria that literally, I mean, they're like 200 tons. I mean, there's no way we could have had any kind of, you know, makeshift materials or equipment to stack them on top of each other. There are many, many, many other places, even the Great Pyramids, you know, they say, well, they only had to lift them one level at a time. I don't care. You know, with as much as they weighed and the precision with which they were laid, we don't have the ability today to literally position them the way they were or the way they are, even with today's technologies. And so there's signs all around us that there have been influences before. And so, you know, it's something that we have to take into consideration. I mean, it's been said that, let's see, how does it go? That young men will dream dreams, old men will see visions, and the women who are our prophets, they will see the visions. And we're in that time. You know, how many people a day do you talk to that tell you, well, I don't really, you know, think I'm psychic or anything like that or believe in it, but all of a sudden they'll tell you three or four things in the last few days that happened that, you know, they don't have an answer for.
There's a lot of change happening. And like the angel said, the 2025 is a year of major change. And there is no doubt that it's an awakening time for people. It's a time for ridding all of the negativity and allowing our consciousness to raise where we can become more telepathic and conscious of things that are beyond the physical.
Yeah. Right. Now, Sandy and I have both been doing prophecy for years. I mean, she's been doing it since she was 5 years old. You know, I mean, I did too, but, you know, my mom didn't like me doing it and swore she'd beat me if I ever told anybody. So, you know, the thing is here is that, you know, it doesn't go away and you keep it and it grows stronger when you want it to. And Sandy, yours started getting stronger and stronger at about 1986, right?
Yeah, that's probably good. Yeah. You know, it really kicked in, you know, with the harmonic convergence.
Right. Wasn't that about that time?
Yeah. And, you know, before that, it was fairly strong, but after that, it really like amplified. And at first, you know, it's one of those things like, how do you deal with this? How do you talk to people? You know, and eventually you realize that if you don't say things, it just, you know, this energy just builds up inside of you. And it's like, you have to, you know, speak out. You have to allow the opportunities to be vulnerable and hope that what you have to share will be something that someone wants to listen to.
Absolutely. We were in our car looked at a couple of months ago, and this guy looks over at us and he says, "You two look familiar." I said, "No, I don't know if I've ever seen you before." I said, "But I'm glad that I look familiar." And so we started talking for a minute or two, and he said, "You guys are religious, aren't you?" And I said, "Well," I said, "we are spiritual." I said, "We have a church and a radio show." And he said, "Well, let me just say first," he said, "I'm an atheist." I said, "Oh, great. That's awesome." He said, wait, did you hear what I said? "I'm an atheist." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Because if you're an atheist, I don't have to take the time to unwind all the doctrine that you have been taught from the time you were probably a youngster." I said that, you know, that they change every so many years and you just can't keep up with it. And so many atheists, when you start to explain to them what passages mean and, you know, some things that have occurred have in meaning, you know, they start to think about it and it gives them a way to ponder. And so I know they take it home and they'll think about it and all of a sudden they'll start to become agnostic, you know. "Well, I'm not sure I believe in God, but maybe I do," you know. Well, that's a start. But he couldn't believe that I said, "Great, I don't have all the dogma and doctrine that, you know, most religions, you know, wrap around people and get them to believe." I said, you know, and there's no one religion that doesn't want to create a doctrine that you have to stick with, you know, just a little different here, a little different there than everybody else's, so that, you know, if you leave, oh my goodness, you're going to burn in hell because you're going to miss out on those two doctrines. I just don't believe that. And so when I was ordained, you know, one of my mentors, you know, told me, said, "Jim, if you can be non-denominational, be non-denominational." He said, "That way, you'll never get stuck inside of a doctrine that you're required, you know, to teach or preach that you know is wrong." He said, and, you know, even the churches of today, and that was back in 1980, he said, the churches of today, he said, you know, they've been teaching doctrines that are just different so that, you know, if you go to them and then you try to go to another church, you won't be able to because the doctrines are so different. He said, so if you can, be non-denominational. And I have kept to that ever since. My churches have always been non-denominational, and I preach non-denominational. And I told a guy the other day, I said, there's one God. That's my premise. I said, anybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. I said, so long as they don't have hate, fear, you know, or judgment on other people. You know, that's only three things that I ask, that they leave at home. And if they'd like to come, they're more than welcome. I don't judge the person. It's just the way I've always been. So, you know, with Nibiru coming through, you know, I'm always the one that I guess I ask. I don't remember asking for that one, but I guess I probably did. And I wanted to see what it looked like again up close because I remember seeing it a long, long time ago. And so one night I was staying in a motel room by myself because we did some moving that day. And I walked outside just a little after dusk. And I looked up into the sky, went around the corner of the motel and looked up in the sky. And there it was. It was massive. Almost like it was laying on top of me. It was that close. And I could see every bit of it. And it had a gear that went around it, a makeshift gear. And the gears were wide and long and came to a point. And they were certainly spaced evenly. And huge, massive. It covered the whole sky that I could see in front of me. And then there were these shafts that came down and hooked to a smaller gearbox. And it was the same way, same type of gears around, and it was hooked to those shafts. And inside the smaller gear circle was a free-floating planet. It was all red. Every piece of it was red, including the planet. And it was free-floating. And so I looked at it, and I thought, oh, my golly. I thought, Nibiru is right there. But all of a sudden, I was drained of all the strength I had. I mean, it was like it just, you know, sucked it all out of me. And, I mean, I hit the ground, and I thought, oh, I got to get back inside. I actually had to walk on my hands and knees, you know, to get to the door, open the door of the hotel, walked in. I thought, well, maybe I need a candy bar or something. So I reached up, put my dollar in, another dollar in, got two pieces of candy. You know, I was going to eat them. And some guy comes out of his room. He says, are you okay? And I said, I will be. I said, I just lost some energy there for a little while, and I'm having trouble walking. And he said, oh, okay. And he steals one of my candy bars. You know, I mean, I thought, wow, is it really coming to this? You know, and then four or five other people came, and not one of them was willing to help me. So I crawled down the hallway to my room, stuck my key in and opened it up, and they were all still there at the door, you know, and I said, you know, I don't think I need you at my door anymore. You know, I think we're done, you know. And they said, well, you sure you can make it to the bed? Well, you weren't worried about me making it to the room itself. I said, so I'm going to just reach up here. And I reached up, there's a closet there, and it had a pillow and a blanket, and I pulled it down, and I covered myself up, and I thought, I'm going to sleep right here. And they said, well, you've got a nice bed in the back. Right here's where I'm sleeping, you know. And please shut the door and turn off the light when you go. And they were gone. And I woke up the next morning. Sandy had come to make sure I was okay. Someone had tipped her off. And I was. You know, it was just it seemed that for some reason it had drained just about all my energy. And so I can tell you what it looks like. It is massive. And it's not called a planet in reality, although some would call it the 12th planet or Planet X. It is actually more mechanical than planet. And it was meant that if any planet in the solar system or in the galaxy falls from its place, in other words, the individual consciousness on it falls too far, then the planet will move also, even if it's a quarter of an inch. Everything in the universe moves in synchronicity, and nothing occupies the same space. It may be only just a small frequency apart, but nothing moves on the same line, except if the planet's consciousness falls enough, it will move it downward just slightly, just enough to put it in the Nibiru's path. And when Nibiru comes by, if it's in the path, trust me, not much will be left of it. Actually, what will be left of it is the asteroid belt, like we have around, you know, our four inner planets.
Oh, at this time, though, it doesn't look like the trajectory is going to have a collision at all.
No, I don't think we're going to collide with it.
Yeah.
But it is going to cause the 3 days of darkness, because it goes in a clockwise motion. We go in a counterclockwise motion. And so as it goes around the sun, it speeds up, and it's going to come through just between us and the sun.
Right.
And
its size is mammoth. It's about the size of Jupiter.
Yes. Very big.
Right.
Very, very big. And it's going to block the sun. Now, you're going to have 3 days of darkness. But at the same time, I do believe its magnetic fields may interact with ours. And that may give a little bit of a loop, you know, across our magnetic field. And you can connect with it, and it will give you a fourth dimensional consciousness. But, you know, it's not going to be a fun time as it gets closer. We're going to have more and more fires, more and more, you know, earthquakes, more and more of everything that you can imagine. And even within ourselves, can you imagine 3 days of darkness? And I'm talking about darkness that is so thick that you can't see anybody else at all. You can't see their face. You can't see anything about them. And so it's to turn you inward so that you will look at yourself and possibly rid yourself of anything that is keeping you from following God's law. It's the only thing that we're supposed to be doing right now. The angels keep telling us, you know, don't make big projects. Don't make great projects. Don't, you know, focus on, you know, a whole bunch of other things. Right now, get the word out, and people need to be following God's law. And that's all. And there's one side that's God. There's one side that's material. If you're in the material side, you know, then you're not in God's side. And let go of the material. What good is it going to do you anyway? It's going to get wiped away soon. I mean, in catastrophes, even when I was standing out there on that road, whole chunks of asphalt were being pulled up and washed down the hill. Except on my side of the road, it was barely a trickle. So God will protect those who are his. Those who are not, well, you know, he wants everybody to be. And whatever it takes, you know, he will give you whatever you need to become aware of the fact that he is God.
Yes, a humbleness, you know, will definitely be there. You know, repentance is something that we need to consider. And, you know, and when you think about the possibilities of Nibiru being so large and with such a huge magnetic force field, that it will have a frequency humming sound that people will begin to hear in their head as it starts to get closer. But the pressure that it puts on everything, it causes our planet to tilt, and it rocks. It's tilting back and forth and back and forth, which is weakening the poles of our planet. And it keeps rocking back and forth until it will lock into place, and the pressure will begin to really build up at that time.
Yeah, how many people out there have noticed that, you know, about every other month or so, the moon comes up in the west and sets in the east. I have seen it come up in the east about 40 degrees up and stop and just stay there until morning and then go back down. In the east. I mean, there are so many things happening. I mean, look at California. Those fires exploded from underneath the ground. I mean, how much more unusual does it have to get? I mean, there's going to be many different types of changes. And, you know, what we started, we must finish. And we finish by finishing at where we started. It's big. It's fish shaped, you know, like the vesica Pisces, and it's looped. And that's why, you know, you may say, well, we've had earthquakes and some pretty big ones and stuff. Yeah, because we move in cycles. That's how we have designed this ourselves, because it wasn't meant to be that way. It was supposed to be a smooth rotation around. But we created cycles by taking the bite of the apple, and there are not enough days in a year. There are not enough, you know, sites on our planet. There are not enough planets in this solar system or even other solar systems to work out every specific action or activity that occurred from even one bite of the apple.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you're right. We do have cycles, and a whole cycle takes approximately 26,000 years, give or take some. And it is not just a cycle that's a circle. It's a cycle that is a spiral. It goes around, and as it meets the point of start, it raises upward, and you're moving into another higher dimension. And we are at that point where our third dimensional consciousness, we are coming to a maximum point where we need to move into this higher level of consciousness, which I'm going to just say is more like a fourth dimension. consciousness, a more all-knowing consciousness region. But in order to get there, you know, we have to have mastered our emotions and our mental abilities, because when we do get to this level of fourth dimensional consciousness, our thoughts can manifest instantaneously. And if we don't have control, our anger or fears or whatever, you know, overtake us, next thing you know, you're envisioning a gun, and next thing you know, you're envisioning shooting it, and next thing you know, you're taking yourself out or somebody out. You know, so the whole idea is that we have to be able to be trusted with this higher level of frequency so that we don't hurt ourselves or others.
You know, and even right now, the angelics and the Holy Trinity have confirmed that there is an Armageddon that is taking place. But, you know, it's always been preached that it would be here on the earth, but Armageddon is in space. It is in the higher heavens, and it is massive, and it is going on as we speak, and getting to and from those higher places to the earth is almost near impossible. And so even people who are passing right now are caught in what is known as the interbetween, and it is that space between heaven and earth. And, you know, it's got a material sense to it, but it is still the interbetween. I personally don't want to stay there very long. There are both good and not so light beings that are caught there, though they can harm you. The saints, it says, are under the throne. And I used to ponder, what does it mean under the throne? I mean, is it like a, you know, like a big piece of board and you stuff everybody under there? I mean, your mind goes through 1,000 things because it really doesn't explain it so much there. But it does if you read on and you put the pieces together. And it is in the interbetween. It is that place where, I guess the Catholics call it purgatory. But, you know, I never much gave a whole lot of focus on purgatory. But this must be what purgatory is. And so everyone who is passing now is being caught up in the interbetween. And that is where the saints and those who have given their lives, you know, in service to Christ and to the light, you know, they are there. And it says they cry out, when will you take and create that which would, you know, that which would make our giving of our lives worthwhile. I mean, when will that happen? And it says that Christ comes and he puts a white robe on each and every one of them that passed in that way or are, should be in heaven. The others may have to go through judgment. So the more you can do now to walk in God's law, period. Forget about everything else. If there's nothing else that matters, God's law. You can, you know, you can possibly not have to deal with much of that, but until the war is over, and it will be over, but it's not over yet. And if you can imagine all of the dark forces and Archangel Michael, Metatron, and Melchizedek, and the heavenly host going up against these dark forces. I mean, as it was in the beginning, you know, there are many more now, and they are fighting to the last breath because they know that their time is up. And so, you know, it's hard to explain to someone who's ready to pass that where they're going to stop off for a little while. But it needs to be done so that they don't contain fear or go into fear or, you know, or whatever, you know, it may cause within them to rile up. You know, it's best. I mean, to know it and to know that we're still protected there and God's always protected us there. And it won't be long. Not long, O Lord. How long? Not long. If you remember the great question that.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, and as Nibiru is getting closer, its incredibly huge, massive energy field is creating interferences and problems with our ionosphere, you know, the upper atmosphere. And what's happening is there's a lot of lightning activity that's starting to happen. And this is going to intensify as it tends to get closer. And so you're going to find that, you know, all of the different areas of the planet will be affected. You know, it's pulling and tugging is going to weaken the plates of the planet. You know, the volcanic activity may become more intense. And, you know, so you're looking at a lot of Earth changes as it gets closer. But if we know this is out there and that this is going to happen mentally, we can somewhat prepare ourselves. But if it's not being talked about and it's all of a sudden upon us at the last minute, that's not fair to people not to know what's happening out there.
Right. And if you know, prepare, you know, prepare, you know, an area of your home for foods that you can eat. If there is 3 days of darkness, you'll know what's there. And blankets and pillows and anything else you might need. Because, I mean, 3 days of darkness that is so thick that you can't even see the other person's face. I mean, have yourself a preparation bag. I mean, if nothing happens, you've lost nothing. If it happens, well, at least you're prepared.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I am not saying that Nibiru is a bad thing, because it's not. Everything has its purpose, and it is a way of pushing people into moving into a higher level of consciousness. And so if we can acknowledge that fact, rather than going into fear over this massive planetoid in our solar system getting closer to Earth, you know, if we can just hold it in perspective and know that if we have faith and believe in God, God will be there to help us. Many people will see destruction, and many people will question, where is God? But God will be there with you, and you just have to always hold the faith.
Right. And this all came about because in the early days, you know, there was an overrun of planets once they would get established, and, you know, it would wipe them out, you know, because another planet had better weapons and wanted, whatever was available on the planet that had built up its civilization. And this was happening over and over and over again. And so that's why Nibiru was created, so that it could roll through the galaxy and take out those type of planets that were, you know, doing nothing but creating, you know, destruction.
Right. And a lot of times, as Nibiru, you know, points its tail, which is in front of it, towards any the sun, the planets, it has such a force that it begins to affect that particular planet, even at a distance that it's at. So that's why we see the rocking back and forth of our planet. If you look at the night skies, you know, all of a sudden you see the stars in the wrong positions, you know, it's tilting it and then it tilts back. So that's one of the reasons for it. So we just have to understand that these things are happening, and it's no coincidence because of the fact that there is this planetoid in our solar system. And soon, I hope that it will be announced.
Absolutely. And we encourage those who are listening, if they would like to, they can email Sandy's with an S, angeltalk@aol.com. And she'll send you back a key that you can give a donation. It'll go through PayPal and right into our bank, the church's bank. We take no funds for ourselves. It all goes to, you know, to those in need, or even the upkeep of the church. We have a 10,000 square foot church, plus the parsonage. So we can use all the donations right now we can get just to, you know, make it solid. It's solid block. So if anything can handle, you know, a catastrophe or of one or another, then, you know, it would be that building. So, but it does take a lot of maintenance. And typically it's usually me. So, give us a call.
And we do try to help people and, you know, get food and clothing and distribute them to those that are in need.
Well, last year we gave over 189 cases of food. And I think that's low, but 189 cases of food, UPS boxes, were filled with all kinds of food and some junk food too, just because it's comfort food. And 59 bags of clothing that was, when people were in need of clothing, we would call them up and get the right sizes that they needed. And then we would relay that to some of our churches in Virginia, with Paul and Massbrook.
Yeah,
with Paul and James Massbrook and their groups. And they would gather up, you know, the right sizes, brand new, and send them down here. And we would help distribute them to the people who were in need. We hope to break that number this year. Cause we know.
We do toiletry things and we do toys for kids. And so we tried to balance it out with a lot of different things.
Yeah, we even did blankets for homeless shelters.
Mm-hmm.
And they were good blankets, the ones that really warm, mm-hmm. Sherpas.
So all donations are appreciated.
Absolutely. And we want to thank everybody for listening. Again, 304-567-3354.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless.